Okay, good evening to everyone. I'm glad to see you on this another day that our Lord has made. It's a good day. God only does things that are good. It's a good day. I look forward to meeting with you each and every week. I look forward to seeing your faces or your identification on Zoom. Some of you I know personally, some I don't know. But whoever you are, I'm glad that you are here. This is the Contemporary Bible class. I am the teacher of this class, Sister Velma Jean Sanders. We come under the Lordship of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is our Savior, Redeemer, and Lord. He is our teacher through the Holy Spirit. We thank God for Jesus. Thank God for each one of you. Today, we will be continuing in our study from Luke chapter 17, and I have a rather ambitious goal this evening. We'll see how that goes, but my goal, I know we will not be able to finish Luke chapter 17, but to some degree, that is my goal, if not to finish it this week, to conclude it next week. As you know, most of you know, and some of you are learning, any portion of God's word, you can continue and study in his word. It's never ending because the word of God is living. And because God's word is living, there is no end to it. So we could study forever and ever in one passage. But I feel led to move a little faster on this evening. I would like to finish chapter 17. However, there are some things in this chapter that I do want to take time with. So we'll see how that works out, trying to finish a chapter and then also taking time with some of the verses. I hope that you are reading your Bibles personally yourself. Don't depend on me or anyone else to do your reading for you. We need each other, and God put teachers in the church and we need each other. We learn from each other as the body of Christ, and we need teachers in the church, but we also need to read for ourselves, study for ourselves, pray for ourselves. So I encourage you, if you're not reading your Bible daily, to make that a goal. Each one of us should be, and I say should be, reading our Bibles daily. Just as Jesus gave us the prayer we call the Lord's Prayer, give us this day our daily bread. And that includes bread for the soul, as well as bread for nourishment for our bodies. So we're going to go to our Lord in prayer and ask him to feed us. He knows what we need. He knows all the vitamins, nutrients, and everything that we need. Heavenly Father, we come before you this evening in the name of Jesus, thanking you and praising you on this another day. This truly indeed is the day that you have made. We will rejoice and we will be glad in it. Thank you for being with us on last week and ushering us in by grace into this Sunday. We praise you. We give you glory. We ask you now, Lord, to be our teacher. Lead us and guide us in the path that you would have us to go in. We ask you by your Spirit to feed us in the manner, Lord God. And you know what we need, Lord God. You know how to feed it. You know what portions we need, Lord. You know it all. And so we yield ourselves to you by your Spirit to lead us in the path that you would have us to go. Forgive us of any sins that we may have committed, Lord. We pray, wash us and cleanse us by your Spirit. Thank you for the blood of Jesus, whereby we can come to you. Thank you for the Spirit of God, whereby we can be cleansed. We praise you, Lord, and we give you glory in Jesus' precious name. We also pray for the needs of everyone in the class. There are many needs, Lord God, various needs, and all of us standing in the need of prayer. We pray for those, especially, Lord, who are going through seasons of trial, that you would give grace, Lord God, and more grace, Lord God, to bear trials and burdens. We rejoice with those who rejoice. Some are in a season of rejoicing, and we rejoice with them. We pray for the absent part of us, Lord. We pray that all is well and that you will be with them and us until we meet together. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, good evening, everyone. We're going to continue this evening in Luke chapter 17. We've been in that chapter for quite some time. We'll be in it also again this evening. I have a lot that I would like to cover. I'm going to get right into the lesson. We will be moving fairly rapidly, but I don't want to move too fast. So I encourage you, and some of you have heard me say this before, ask the Lord. Well, we always need the Lord to give us an ear to hear what the Spirit has to say to the church. We also need the Spirit to quicken us, keep us from distraction, and help us to hear and then to understand. In Luke chapter 17, I'm going to give a brief review. I'm going to move forward fairly rapidly. When we get to verse 25, we'll be starting at verse 22 with review. Moving on to verse 25 is where we left off on last week. And we've been in that verse for several weeks. It is my goal today, though, to move onward to verse 26. But I want to spend ample time in review. So let me get started. Here in Luke chapter 17, beginning, I'm going to start at verse 20. The Pharisees are on the scene, and the Pharisees had a question. They asked Jesus about the kingdom of God. They wanted to know when it would come. And then he answered them. And in verse 20 and 21, we notice that the word kingdom is mentioned three times. Then we moved on to verse 22, and now it changes. In verse 20, it was the Pharisees who are speaking, and they asked when he was asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come. Then we move to verse 22, and we see in verse 22 it changed from the Pharisees to now in verse 22 the disciples. The disciples are the ones who are speaking. And the disciples, now Jesus addresses the disciples from verse 22 all the way to the end of that chapter. Jesus is talking directly to the disciples. That is a significant change. The Pharisees were still within earshot. They could still hear what Jesus had to say. But Jesus now is specifically directing his answer to the disciples. However, as I said on last week, he doesn't say in verse 20, what I'm getting ready to say now, I'm saying to the Pharisees. And then when he gets to verse 22, Jesus does not stop and say, now this is to the disciples. He just speaks the word, and whoever the word is meant for, it will reach them. In verse 22, as Jesus addresses the disciples, Jesus talks about things of prophecy. He foretells things that will be in the future, but he also talks about things that have happened in the past. In verse 22, Jesus immediately goes into some prophetic words, words of prophecy. We know that because verse 22 says, the days will come. Well, you immediately know that's in the future. He's talking about something that will happen in the future. He lets us know in verse 22, there will be days that will be coming. And in these days that will be coming, you will desire to see one of the days of the Son of Man. Well, there's a lot of different tenses going on there, and a lot of different time frames. Jesus says in verse 22, the days will come. And on last week, I asked you to go through this passage on your own and locate or identify the different times the word days shows up and the word day. And each one of them have some significance. We're not going to be able to take time to go through the significance of all and the differences of the days and the day. I do, however, want to make you aware of that. There will be a time, perhaps, that we can do that, but we have to keep moving on in our study. Verse 22, Jesus says, "The days will come when you will desire to see one of the days." So we noticed on last week in verse, now I'm reading from the New King James Version. If you have another version, I'm sure it will say it, phrase it differently. So verse 22, the days will come. That is a time that will happen. Well, what will happen? It will happen that you will desire to see one of the days. And so we see it went from the days will come, and that is a time frame when you will desire to see one of the days of the Son of Man, and you will not see it. And then in verse 22, Jesus says, prophesying here, "And they will say to you, look here or look there. Do not go after them or follow them." In other words, there will be false prophets that will come that will say, look here or look there. Jesus warns us, and keep in mind, he's talking to his own people here, to his disciples. And Jesus warns them in verse 23, this will happen. But he also tells them instruction in verse 23, when someone says, go here, go there, there's a prophet over there. He tells us, do not go after them. So Jesus is warning us that there will be false prophets in the land, even in our day and age. Verse 24. Now Jesus gives us a comparison. He lets us know, as the lightning that flashes out of one part under heaven shines to the other part under heaven, so also the Son of Man will be in his day. And that's another day. And we notice there in verse 22, it says the days will come when they want to see another day. And then verse 24 says, as the lightning flashes out of one part under heaven, shines to the other part under heaven, so also the Son of Man will be in his day. So that's a singular day. You need to notice those different days. Verse 22, days. Verse 24 that I just read mentioned, so also the Son of Man will be in his day. And that is the actual day of the second coming of the Lord. So verse 24, it tells us about things that will happen and warns us about things that will happen, prophesying. But then in verse 25, wait a minute, verse 25 lets us know, but first. And this is the verse that we've been in for several weeks. So before Jesus comes again, this is a time where Jesus will come again. But before he comes again, scripture lets us know first, but first. So now scripture prophesies and lets us know before the second coming of Jesus. Well, we believe, based on scripture, that Jesus has already been to earth. God became a man, the incarnate God. God took on flesh. The Word of God, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. God became a man to die for our sins, to pay the price for sin. He didn't stay dead. He was buried. He paid the price for sin. He was buried, rose again on the third day. And verse 25 tells us Jesus will come again. That's what 24 is letting us know. Jesus will come again. He will come suddenly. He will come in a flash. He will come again. Every eye shall see him, because he's going to be like the lightning that flashes from one part of heaven to the other part. And that is indicative of every eye will see him. But first, before the second coming of the Lord. So scripture went to future, telling us that Jesus will come again, telling us how it will be to some degree when he comes in verse 24. But first, verse 25, first, before Jesus' second coming, verse 25 lets us know, and this must happen before Jesus comes again. Verse 25 says, but first he must suffer many things and be rejected by this generation. And so scripture lets us know Jesus, he has come. We know that the Lord Jesus has come. Now let me stop, and this is where I'm going to try to say it and keep moving. Now we need I've said this many times, but we need to keep going over things, repeating things, and that's how we learn. Jesus Christ, we know, Son of God. Jesus Christ is God. He is the second person of the Godhead, God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. God took on flesh and became a man. It's not that God had a beginning or an end. He is the eternal, everlasting God. But he did take on flesh, and in time, he became a man. Well, why did he become a man? Well, there's several answers we could give, primarily to pay the price for sin. To pay the price for our sins, God became a man, and he suffered, and he died, and he was the sacrifice, the perfect sacrifice for our sins. Verse 25 tells us Jesus, verse 25 lets us know, verse 24 lets us know, before Jesus comes again, he first of all must suffer many things. Now, and then it says, and be rejected by this generation. And then the scripture in verse 26, it says, and as it was, and as it was in the days of Noah. See, it went from verse 24, what's going to happen in the future, verse 23 as well, and 24, what's going to happen in the future, verse 25, but first. Well, we are in now that but first period of the Lord. What must happen before Jesus' second coming? Well, what must happen before Jesus' second coming is found in verse 25. And so it's like a parenthesis in there. You have a parenthesis, and you have in that parenthesis, we have the coming of the Lord. But we see, first of all, he must suffer. So we see the first coming of Jesus. I hope everyone's following me. We have the first coming of Jesus. And that's when God became a man. Jesus paid the price for our sins. Jesus paid the price for our sins. Now let's go partly through that calendar or time frame of things that happen. And I'm kind of starting in the middle because I don't want to be here too long. But first of all, we know that Christ Jesus was born. And let me skip on over further. Jesus paid the price for sin. He died. He was buried. He rose again on the third day. And then, and I want us to keep going with this, On the third day, Jesus rose again from the dead. And that's what we call the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. He rose again from the dead. But after he rose from the dead, what happened? Well, what happened after he rose, because when you think about it, and most of you know it, when he rose from the dead, he did not immediately go straight to heaven, to back to his Father. In between that time of the first of Jesus' resurrection and him going to heaven is 40 days in there. And we commemorate that even on this day, the day of Pentecost. Am I getting ahead of myself? I think I'm getting ahead of myself. So we have Jesus rose again from the dead. All right. Everybody's with me there. Jesus rose from the dead. Jesus rose from the dead. And then he did what? He walked amongst his own for 40 days after his resurrection. After his resurrection, and this is called his post-resurrection appearances. There were 40 days between, I'm trying to keep all this straight. There were 40 days between the resurrection of Jesus and his ascension. Now, 40 days after Jesus rose from the dead, he was on this earth for 40 days. All right, I hope you have that. He was on this earth. Now, we know God is eternal, the eternal God. But he was on this earth, we'll say, on this earth for 40 days. During those 40 days, according to the scriptures, he only appeared to his own people. Whereas before his death, he appeared to many Pharisees, sinners, all kinds of people, God, Jesus appeared to. But after his resurrection, Jesus did not show himself to anyone except his own people. That's very important. After his resurrection, he did not show himself to anyone but his own. He didn't show up at Pilate's office or Herod or the enemies or the soldiers. He only appeared to his own. Keep that in mind. So Jesus appears to his own 40 days. Then what happens? After the 40th day, Jesus ascended. After the 40 days, Jesus ascended, which means to go up. He ascended back to his Father, back to heaven. Jesus went back to heaven. So there were 10 days in there between Jesus departing, ascension. We call that the ascension of Jesus, when he went back to glory. Now, when he went back to glory, that's what we call the ascension. Then there were 10 days in there, which brings us to the 40 plus 10, 50 days, the day we're commemorating today, the day of Pentecost, those 50 days. On that 50th day, what happened on the 50th day? Well, on that 50th day, which is 10 days after the ascension, what is the ascension? That's when Jesus went back to glory. He returned back to his Father. Now, this is where, I haven't lost track of where I am in going through Luke, but I'm still in Luke chapter 17, verse 25. So verse 25 says, Jesus must suffer many things and be rejected by this generation. Well, several weeks ago, I asked, and I may have said it last week, I probably did, what generation? He must be rejected by this generation. Well, we're in that time frame right now. Now, Jesus has ascended back to his Father. Let's look at some scriptures here. Let's look at several scriptures. Now, last week, I left off at Hebrews. So that's where I want to start at this evening. For you all who are readers, just be patient. We'll try to get there. I'll try to get there this evening. But right now, let's go to Hebrews. Now, a lot more can be said on what I just said, but we would never get through studying through Luke if we stopped it everywhere we could. So for that reason, I have to keep going. So let's go to Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1. So Hebrews chapter 1, now keep in mind what we have said. Jesus ascended. Jesus died, buried, rose again. After his resurrection, he was on this earth for 40 days. He appeared only to his own people. He did not appear to anyone that was not his own. He only appeared to his own. And then 10 days later, he sent the Holy Spirit, what we call the day of Pentecost. He sent the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit's coming on the day of Pentecost is the birth date of the church. And when I say the church, I mean the true born again believer. The day of Pentecost is the church's birthday. Now in Luke chapter 17, and when I say the church's birthday, I mean that's the day where the church was formed, where the church was born. The believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Luke chapter 17, verse 25 says, Jesus, verse 24 lets us know, Jesus will come again. That's Luke 17, 24. Jesus will come again. Verse 25 says, but before he comes again, he must suffer many things and be rejected. So now we can see Jesus will come again. He must come again. But before he comes again, he must suffer many things and be rejected. So you need to pause there. Jesus will come again, but first. Because, you know, when you look at verse 24, Luke chapter 17, verse 24, he talks about as the lightning flashes. And that'll be how it'll be when Jesus comes again. That will be how it will be when he comes again. He'll be like lightning flashing. Every eye shall see him. But first he must suffer. What we would say where we are in this calendar of God, as it were. But first he must suffer many things. And now I asked the question last week and maybe the week before. Has Jesus suffered? Is he suffering now? Well, that could be, first you have to define the word suffer. But we are now, in one sense, in the time of Jesus' sufferings. Even though he has been risen from the dead, he has been glorified. But according to verse 25, before Jesus comes again, there will be a time of suffering. So verse 25, more could be said on that, but I need to keep going. He will suffer many things and be rejected. And here comes a time word, be rejected by this generation. So we are in this generation. What generation? The generation that will reject the Christ, that will reject him, the generation that crucified him the generation that will reject him. Now, are we living in a time frame right now in July, June, whatever it is, June 5th, I believe, of Jesus' rejection? Is Jesus rejected? Well, overall, we could say yes. We're in a time frame, generally speaking, of Jesus is rejected by the masses. By the masses, Jesus is rejected still by men. But there is a group, a remnant. We're part of that. The church age and others, the church, who believe and accept and love the Lord Jesus, whom we have not seen. But generally speaking, the time frame we're in now is what I would call an in-between. What are we in between? We're in between the first coming of the Lord and the second coming of the Lord. What's in between the first coming of the Lord? You know, Christmas, we call it Christmas, the birth of Christ. What's between the first coming of the Lord and the second coming of the Lord? Well, between the first coming of the Lord and the second coming of the Lord, we have in there, and this is a short answer, the church. The church, there are believers that are in there, in between that first coming and the second coming. The point I really want to bring out now, this is time of rejection. Right now, Jesus is rejected. You all know that. You know that. Jesus is rejected by most. So we're still in a time of his rejection. But there are some, I am one of them, and pray most of you are one of them as well, that love Jesus, have received Jesus. We welcome him. We look forward to seeing him someday. So there is a group that has received him. Now back to Acts and hold Luke. So we see Saul, according to Luke 17, Jesus must be rejected by this generation. So in this time frame, it's a time frame of Jesus being rejected. Now keep in mind what I just said. When Jesus rose from the dead and ascended back to heaven, well, I made the statement, who saw Jesus after he was raised from the dead? Well, the only ones he appeared to were his own. He did not appear after his resurrection to any unbelievers. So that means, and you have to think in mass now, that means the last time that the world saw Jesus, and when I say the world, I mean the masses of humanity. The last time that the world saw Jesus, he was crucified and suffering. That's the last time the world saw him. We see Jesus. How do we see him? Well, we see him through the eye of faith. Thank you, Lord, for the eye of faith. We see him crucified, but we also see him buried and risen from the dead. We also see Jesus ascended back to heaven, sitting at God's right hand. Now, we see all of that by faith. I mean, we haven't seen any of these things. We read it by faith. We believe that Luke existed. We believe Luke did and said what he said. We believe that by faith because we are believers. That's one of our titles, as believers, and we believe. So now in Hebrews, now I'm going to go to Hebrews here, the book of Hebrews chapter 1, where we left off on last week, Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1. And last week, we left off talking about these different time frames in Scripture, and there are many. time frames in scripture, more than we even know about. But in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1, there's these two major time frames. Well, Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1 starts out by saying, God who at various times and in various ways spoke. So that's very important. God spoke. Those are those connecting joints in this scripture. God spoke. How did he speak? Well, verse 1 says, and when did he speak? Well, he spoke at various times. Many times God spoke. You can go all throughout the Old Testament, all kinds of ways God spoke at various times and in various ways. So God is a speaking, communicating God. He communicates with man. Verse 1, God spoke in various ways. When did he speak? Now we see these two major time frames here. In verse 1 of Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1, it says, God spoke. When did he speak? He spoke in time past. So that's past tense. Group it all together. God spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets. So you have there the Old Testament. And even before that, God spoke. God was speaking in time past. And it says right there, time past. Verse 2 says, now the time frame is going to change. Verse 2 says, has in these last days. So now we've gone from past tense all in one verse to the second verse. Has in these, now we've moved to present tense. God spoke in time past. That's verse 1. Verse 2, has in these last days. So that's present tense, where we are now. In these last days, verse 2, has in these last days spoken. There it is again. Well, what's common in verse 1 and verse 2? Well, the common thing, one common thing in verse 1 and verse 2 is God speaks. And keep in mind, John chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning was the Word. God is a speaking God, speaking to man. He spoke one way in time past. Verse 2 has in these last days spoken to us in these last days. How has God spoken to us, to you, to me? How has God spoken to us, and how is God still speaking to man? Well, in these last days, he speaks by Son, in Son. If you ask, like I said last week, the language I speak is English. That's my language. But God's language, which is all of them, we could say, and we could also say none of them. God's language is Jesus. That's his language. God speaks in these last days by Son. Jesus is the Word. Now, this is all going to fit together. Just be patient here with me. And then verse 2 goes on elaborating and expounding on the Son of God, Jesus Christ. But we have now moved to in these last days. Now, because of time, let's skip to down to verse 13. And this is because, truly because of time, a lot could be said. Now, when we go to verse 13 of Hebrews chapter 1, now, what have we already learned or said? We have learned that Jesus has ascended to heaven. We have learned Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father. And we will see that now in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 13. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 13. And it reads, but to which of the angels has he ever said, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool? Now notice there's some time words in there. There's a time word. There is instruction. It's not really instruction. But verse 13, who's talking? Well, the Father, God the Father, is talking, speaking to his Son, God the Son. God the Father is speaking to God the Son. Both are God. We know that. Eternal God, God the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. But within the Godhead, and that's what we call the Godhead, some call it the Trinity, within the Godhead, there are different functions. Within the Godhead, who is head? You know, the Godhead, God, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. God is God, manifested in three persons. God, Father, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. But there is order in the Godhead. God does all things decently and in order. So God the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, one. But there is an order. There is one. Now, this is a mystery, part of the mystery of the Godhead. Still equal, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. But there is order, because in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 13, the Father is speaking. And you will need to read all of chapter 1 to get it in context and everything. But in chapter 1, Father is speaking. And he's, you know, to get to context, making this case, as it were. And he said, he's comparing Jesus to angels, and Jesus to angels, and Jesus, but we find out Jesus is better. Jesus is better. Verse 13, but to which of the angels has he ever said, did I go back too far? Verse 13, to which of the angel did the Father ever say? Now look at this. This is Father. The question is being asked, you know, to prove, as it were, the case that Jesus Christ is Lord. Jesus Christ is God. There's order, however, in the Godhead. Now we see in verse 13, to which of the angels? And that lets you know, now comparing angels to God is better, much better, far better. Verse 13, to which of the angels has he ever said, sit at my right hand? Now we notice several things here in this verse. It lets us know that the Father tells the Son, this is what I mean, God is Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, God. But there's order. There is a head, and God the Father is the head. We know that several reasons. We know it by scripture, but we know for God so loved the world that he gave his Son. So who's leading there? It is the Father that gave his Son. So here in Hebrews, and by the way, lest I don't get around to saying it, the Father gave the Son, Jesus Christ the Lord. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. The Son gives the Spirit. The Son gives the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit comes only after the Son, S-O-N, after Jesus. So the Father gives the Son. The Son gives the Spirit. And that's part of why us in this church age, the Son gave to us his Spirit. And the Jesus said, it's expedient that I go away, because if I don't go away, the Comforter will not come. So we in this church age, it is the Holy Spirit. Now I'm veering off a little bit. Verse 14, for with 13, Hebrews chapter 1, verse 13. But to which of the angels has he ever said, sit at my right hand till time were until? And that's what I was trying to get to. The Father has told the Son to sit. So now where are we in our linking this together? Jesus has ascended to heaven, right? Yes. Jesus has ascended to heaven. And then he was told, you know, 10 days later, the Holy Spirit was sent from heaven, came like a mighty rushing wind, the day of Pentecost. Jesus ascended to heaven. 10 days later, the Holy Spirit came, descended. The Holy Spirit came down, formed the church. But look at this. Jesus was told. Now you have to picture Jesus ascends to heaven. Jesus gives to the church the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit comes after Jesus ascends 10 days later. The Holy Spirit came. Now what's in between here? In between is verse 13, where Jesus is told to sit. Sit until. Now, where is, and you all work with me in the language and everything, where is Jesus now? Well, we know Jesus is God, so he's Spirit. We know that. But where is Jesus now? Well, we know Jesus has ascended to heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father. But Hebrews tells us in verse 13, chapter 1, he was told by Father to sit until. That's that time frame we're in now. We're in this in between. We're in this. Jesus has ascended. He was told to sit down by his Father until. Now the question is, until what? Well, that's where Luke comes back in. Luke comes back in. Let's go back to Luke. Well, did I finish Hebrews? Yeah, pretty much. There's much more that can be said, of course. But let me go on. Let's go back to Luke chapter 17. Luke chapter 17. First, Jesus must be, verse 25. First, he must suffer. Yes. We do know Jesus has suffered. It is still his time of sufferings, even though Jesus is not suffering like he did on Calvary's cross, you know, nails and all of that. But he still suffers with his own. We still share in Christ's sufferings. Even now, we share in his sufferings. So this is still a time frame of suffering and rejection. Now then, verse 25, now I'm moving on. Much more could be said. It will be said as we continue in Scripture. But we do need to move on. So now verse 25, we see Jesus will come again. But before he comes again, Luke 17, 25 tells us, first of all, he must suffer many things and be rejected by this generation. So that's the generation of the world system in between, in before Jesus comes again. He will be rejected by this world. And we can see that Jesus is rejected by most. Now we move on to verse 26. Sister Sadie Cole, are you there?
Yes.
Okay, are you ready to read? I believe verse 26 is one of your verses. Yes, verse 26 through 31.
Back to Luke. Okay, 17.
Verse
2. Jesus answering said, were there not 10?
Wait. Chapter 17. Luke chapter 17, verse 26.
26, Miss Sadie.
But first must he suffer many things and be rejected of this generation. And as it was in the days of Noah, shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark. And the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise, also as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they said, they planted, they built. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. In that day, he which shall be upon the housetop and his stuff in the house, let him not come down to take it away. And he that is in the field, let him likewise not return back.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you for reading for us. Now let's move ahead. You all, there's a lot more that could be said, but we got to keep moving. Scripture will answer scripture, and scripture, one book, one Lord, will come back to, if you have questions, they will be answered as the Lord sees fit as we continue with him. Now in Luke chapter 17, verse 26, now Jesus has let his disciples know what will happen, but first Jesus must suffer. And that's the time frame we're in now, where he has suffered and rejected by this age. Yes, he is. You start talking about Jesus, people be changing the subject. That's part of that rejection. Now Jesus is going to give us some historical thing to show us it's the same as it always has been. So he says in verse 26, as it was. So that lets you know we have a equal sign, equivalent. As it was in the days of Noah. That's one of them days that you should have identified if you kept a list. As it was in the days of Noah, so it will also be in the days of the Son of Man. Well, let's stop right there. And I'm going to ask you to unmute yourselves fairly quickly if you can. We don't have a lot of time, so we better not do that. But verse 26, as it was in the days of Noah. So let's ask ourselves the question and even think about it during the week. The question would be, how was it in the days of Noah? Mm-hmm. Well, the first answer would be, you know, I don't know. I wasn't back there. Well, the answer would be to us who believe God's word. God's word lets us know what it was like in the days of Noah. It tells us, now this is where you need to stop and say, well, what do we know about Noah? Well, we know quite a few things about Noah, and you could ask yourself that question during the week. what all do you know about Noah? And that is something you need to spend a little time with, because some people don't know about Noah. But we do know, some of us, most of us have grown up, but can't make that assumption that everyone knows about Noah. We know Noah was a righteous man. Mm-hmm. We know Noah was in the Old Testament. Noah was one of the patriarchs. Noah was here before the flood. So that means Noah been around a long time. Noah was way back in the Old Testament. You have to go all the way back to Genesis, early chapters, to get to Noah. But scripture says in verse 26, as it was mm-hmm. in the days of Noah, it will also be in the mm-hmm. days of the Son of Man. Look mm-hmm. at that. As human mm-hmm. nature was in the days of Noah, it's the same, going to be the same way in the days of the Son of Man. In other words, when Jesus comes again, people going to be acting exactly the same way they were acting in the days of Noah. And you know how they treated Noah, rejected Noah, talked about Noah. Noah was doing what? A preacher. Noah was a preacher of righteousness. Noah was telling people to repent and preaching righteousness. Wasn't many, but Noah was a preacher of righteousness. And that's another thing about that is, in every age, God's going to have a spokesperson. In every mm-hmm. age, there will be someone bringing the word of God. So the one who was bringing the word of God back then was Noah. He had to bring it along. You know, his family, part of the family, got in. But Noah was the preacher. And us today, here in our age, who are the spokespeople for God in this day? Mm-hmm. Well, it would be the church age, us. Now, always keep in mind when I say the church, it doesn't mean everybody that belongs to the church, to a church. It means that blood washed, been born again group. Mm-hmm. So as it was in the days of Noah, so it will be also in the days of the Son of Man. Well, what were they doing in Noah's day? They ate. Ain't that what we're doing today? Some of us going to do it pretty soon, in a few minutes. They ate back then. They drank mm-hmm. back then. They married wives back then.
Yeah.
They were given in marriage until. So that lets you know that time will come to an end. It did come to an end. That time of Noah came to the end, mm-hmm. to an end, and our time is coming to an end right now. How, when did it come to an end? Well, they married them folks in Noah's age. They did all of that. Then we get a time word, until. They kept on marrying. Life was going on as usual. People were doing what they do. They were doing the same things we do. And it kept going on until the day. Now, that's one of them days. There was a day, the days of Noah. But then there came the day. This is it. Shut the door, Noah. Until the day that Noah entered the ark. Then what happens? Judgment. Judgment came, and this is the judgment of the flood. And what happened? All were destroyed except for eight. Now, history will repeat itself. And that's what we'll have to pick up on next week, is with still here in Luke chapter 17. And we're going to go on with verse 28. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path. It was good for generations past. It's good for generations today. We thank you, Lord, for your living word. We praise you on this day of Pentecost. We thank you for the Holy Spirit, Lord God. And thank you, Lord God, for the gift of your Son and the gift of your word. Now be with us through this week and keep us in your care until we meet again. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. God bless everyone.
God bless.
Thank you.
God
hope to meet with you next week.
Thank you.
Next week.
Is that Linda Hill? Linda Hill.
Hello, Linda.
Hi.
Now you show up with the camera.
Now you show up.
Hello, Sister Kathy P.
Hello.
Good to see you.
We're always good to see you.
Praise the Lord. Love everybody.
Love you all.
Love you.
I'm praying for you, even if I don't get around to saying it every week. I'm praying for you and keep me in prayer.
Amen.
Pray you one for the other.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Michael. Hello, Brother Michael.
Yes, hello.
Is this Michael Lucas in California? Are you in Texas?
No, I'm in California.
California.
Yeah, I'm in Oakland, California.
All right, now. You said it for 2 minutes. Good to have you with us.
Yes.
Amen. And everyone else. We'll continue in Luke next week.
Okay.
Amen. God bless everyone.
Okay. We love you.
Love you too.
Thank you.
Take care.
All right. You too. Bye.
Hey, Sister Benny.
Hi, Velma.
Good to hear your voice and see your name.
Yes. Glad to be here.
Amen. Okay, everybody. Have a great week.
Yeah.
All right. And here we go.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Till we meet again.